Welcome to the iLEAP's Early Careers podcast, where we explore scientific research related to the biosphere and the atmosphere, and share the personal experiences of our early careers scientists as they navigate their way through academia.
Hi, my name is Tichomir, and I am an iLEAP's Early Career Committee representative for Europe. Today's podcast forms part of a series in which we chat with people from a range of roles within and outside of academia, and who are both in and from the region of Europe. Today on the podcast, we have Flaubert Nda, who is a PhD student in the Environmental Ecology and Biochemistry Research Group in the campus of Kuopio at the University of Eastern Finland. Hello, Flaubert, and welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Tiomi. Thank you for having me on this platform. I'm excited.
Yeah, welcome. I was just wondering. So you're doing currently a PhD. What inspired you to get into science in the first place?
Yeah. Okay. First, I would say passion. Passion about science. It's all about it. That has really been my motivation from the start. And I think I was really passionate about the environment, and there was a little bit of curiosity also there. Really curious about how the earth and the ecosystem as a unit works, you know, how the plants, soils, insects, you know, the climate, how everything interacts. So I was really, really curious about this, and then I was passionate about it. And then I also had the desire to make the world a better place and to use my expertise to help my community and the society at large.
That sounds really good. It's a really nice motivation to do it. But can you tell the listeners more specifically about the research that you did during your master's and now during your PhD studies?
Yeah. Okay. I had a master's in environmental biology from the University of Eastern Finland, Joensuu. My master's thesis was about diurnal change of chlorophyll fluorescence or different provenances at different photoperiods. So climate change, you know, it's always an important factor from ages and until now. You know, the climate is changing and there are different factors which are also changing, like carbon dioxide, humidity. But there is one other factor which is not changing, why the climate is changing, which is the photoperiods, the day length. And this climate change, of course, it's causing plants to migrate. You know, there's this range shifts and plants may be forced to migrate to other habitats, which is not their natural habitat of growth. So how do these plants survive, you know, in these new habitats, you know, with different photoperiods? So we wanted to study this, and we use state-of-the-art techniques like chlorophyll fluorescence kinetics, which is one of the methods of studying plant adaptation and acclimation to environmental changes. So we had plants from three different provenances, two from Finland, one from the northern part of Finland, where the sun basically doesn't set at all. You have about 22 hours of daylight and just like 2 hours of night. Mm. And then one from Punkaharju, southern Finland. Then there was another one from northern Italy. And the one from Punkaharju and northern Italy, they have like kind of similar photoperiodic regimes. They length like about 15 hours of 15 and a half hours of daylight and then 6.5 hours of night. So it was more like some plants from the short day, and then there are others from the longer day length. So we exposed them to long day and short day treatment conditions in a chamber setup. So in the long day, we had these longer periods of day length, which was about 22 hours of daylight and then just 2 hours of darkness. And then in the short day treatments, we had about 15 and a half hours of daylight and then about eight hours of darkness. Yeah. So in total, We found that from our results, we found that the plants which were from this northern part of Finland, basically from the Kittilä provenance, they had a much higher photosynthetic efficiency than those from the other provenances, because we measured the photosynthetic efficiency by studying some key parameters like the maximum quantum here of photosystem two efficiency, and then performance index on absorption basis. So it gives like an idea of the photosynthetic efficiency of plants. So we found this from the Nordic, from the northern part of Finland had a higher photosynthetic efficiency than the other provenances. And then when we measured the growth at the final harvest, surprisingly, they had a lesser growth, though they had a higher photosynthetic efficiency. And then the plants from the longer day, they had less photosynthetic efficiency compared to those from the shorter day. But also, so they had a higher growth than those from the shorter day, even though they had a lesser photosynthetic efficiency. So we came to the conclusion that photosynthetic efficiency does not, higher photosynthetic efficiency does not necessarily translate into higher growth, but it basically saves us some form of strategy, you know, for the plant with these different photoperiodic regimes. We used these birch plants, and we found that birch could actually tolerate different photoperiods, because during different parts of the day, we found that the maximum quantum yield, you know, the parameter, you know, it varied during the different periods of the day, and it dropped drastically during the mid parts of the day. But the photosynthetic apparatus was not permanently damaged, because even though it dropped in the mid part of the day, it rose again, you know, in later hours of the day. So it showed that it was some kind of strategy for the plants to tolerate this stress during the mid hours of the day. And we also found that the long day was quite favorable for plants to grow, because the plants in the longer day length conditions, they had higher growth than those in the short.
And so that's very interesting. And then, and did you continue that very quickly with the PhD, as a PhD topic, or did you switch to another topic?
Yeah, so with my PhD, I'm mainly studying now climate change effects on gas fluxes from tundra ecosystems, like in the subarctic. So there, so still climate change is occurring, and it's expected its impact, I mean, it's been felt in the Arctic, like greater than in other parts of the world, you know. So, and this rising temperatures is causing increased release of greenhouse gases, you know, and other reactive gases like volatile organic compounds, you know. Gases, they are having a feedback effect resulting in more warming of the atmosphere. Now, one key thing is that the emissions and the interactions of these gases, especially in the northern ecosystems, has not been deeply studied, you know, and because they are capable of actually interacting. And another thing is that warming is not expected to occur alone, but it has a potential to occur, I mean, alongside increased cloudiness, or in other words, we call it shading, you know. So how this increased cloudiness and warming individually and in combination, how they affect the emissions and interactions of these gases is still to be known. So that's PhD. It's about studying how these factors affect the emissions and interactions of these. And then I'm also studying different ecosystems, you know, because the nutrient status and the soil moisture and, you know, fertility of different ecosystems will cause them to react differently to these climate change factors. You know, so I have how does this gas response, the emissions and interactions, how to climate change, how does it differ in different ecosystems?
Very interesting.
And then at the level of the plants also, we are looking like how some of these plant structures, like the trichomes, you know, how they can they can be affected by these climate change factors, and how they are important in the emissions of gases.
Wow, that's very interesting. But Flobert, you're not originally from Finland, so can you say your story until how did you get to Finland and to be at the place where you are now?
Yeah, okay. I come from Cameroon, Central Africa, to be precise. And I had my bachelor at the University of Oya back in my country. And being with the motivation that I had, you know, I wanted to pursue to further my studies. And due to the lack of some resources and facilities back home, I decided to pursue my studies, you know, and I found the University of Eastern Finland offering this very interesting program in environmental biology. So I joined the research group at University of Eastern Finland, UNSU. And of course, when I arrived, I had interesting experiences, you know, but I faced some challenges like having to travel to a new country, you know, having to cope with the weather, the food, the language, etc., you know, for example. And then in terms of work, I had to work with new and strange or state-of-the-art softwares or technique, which I've not been very familiar with, though quite interesting that I know them now. And currently as a PhD student, of course, the challenge of a new experience as a PhD student, you know, planning experiments, conducting research individually, thinking critically than ever before, writing scientific publications, you know, it's all fascinating.
I wanted to ask you about, like, so what were some of the more difficult parts of your PhD, and maybe if you have overcome these challenges in some way, is there something that you would like to share about that?
Yeah, I think one of the most difficult challenges that I face, it's as a PhD student, which of course I've somehow overcome it now, was the fact that at the start, I had not so much experience, you know. So the lack of experience, and then having to work with researchers, you know, and having to network with people who are already so much experience in what you're doing, you know, it was some little bit kind of challenge for me. Of course, PhD is a learning process, you know, and you get to interact with these people to learn. So, but that was the most important challenge for me so far, like the fact that I lacked some experiences at the start, you know, so I had a little bit of challenges in that aspect. And then another thing was, sometimes at the start, I was a little bit kind of stuck in some of my own comfort zone. Yeah, but later I found out that, okay, interacting, you know, and networking was very much more important for me. So that has helped me a lot going forward. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the PhD is also more than just difficulties. I'm sure there are some really nice things that happened. So could you share something that's really great that happened during your PhD study so far, or that will happen soon?
Right? Yeah, you know, every PhD student learns critical thinking skills, whether they realize it or not. You know, you are trained to approach problems systematically, to see the links between ideas, evaluate arguments, and analyze information to come up with your own conclusions. So, I mean, any industry or research institution can benefit from someone who knows how to think. So that's like one of the most interesting things that has happened to me, being able to think critically, you know, being able to work independently, you know, to evaluate arguments, analyze information, come up with my own conclusions, doing experiments individually, writing scientific publications. It's just been fun, yeah.
We get a lot of good I think one person, like someone gets a lot of good traits, good experiences from PhD that you can probably take on with you later in life, right?
Yeah.
But I was wondering, would you have any general advice for people who are considering to do a PhD? What would you tell to them?
I think it's very, very important for those who are listening that they know this, because it's something that I wish, of course, that I knew from the very onset when I started my PhD, and which everyone who is starting their PhD is supposed to know. First thing, passion. You have to be passionate about what you do, and this will drive you to succeed. You have to maintain a healthy work-life balance. You know, you have to find a routine that works for you. You know, develop a good balance, work steadily throughout throughout your program, than to work intensively and burn out. So look after yourself is key to success. Discuss, you have to have a good relationship with your supervisor. You discuss your expectations with your supervisor. You be honest also with your supervisor. Let them know, for example, if you don't understand something, you know, or if you've messed up an experiment or something like that. You know, your relationship is key, you know. And then feedback, always try to get feedback about your work from friends or colleagues. You know, that falls under networking. Networking is very, very important, and there is not shame for you asking for help, because of course it's a learning process as a PhD student. Plan, you have to plan well. You have to have good time management skills. You know, try and you spend time planning, make sure you're devoting an appropriate amount of time to do your tasks which you're undertaking. You know, and then review how things are going. If you're not achieving your goals, think about why, and then you make some changes. Yeah, and then stay motivated. You have to keep your motivation at the highest level at all times. Yeah, and then don't compare yourself with others. You know, your PhD is an opportunity to conduct original research that reveals new information. So as such, all PhD programs are different. You just need to do what works for you and your project. Aim to publish your research, especially if you want to go forward with your in the field of research. You will need these publications, you know, and it gives you much more experience. And finally, enjoy the moment, you know, live the experience. Don't forget to socialize, catch fun, because all work without play makes Jack a dull boy. That's what they said, right? So, it can be tough, and there will be days when you wish you had a normal job, but PhDs are full of wonderful experience, and it gives you the opportunity to work on something that fascinates you. So celebrate yourself and enjoy yourself.
This was some great advice, Flavio. Thank you so much. I'm sure the people who really appreciate them. I think I really agree with you. Some really good things that you have to that you should take care of during your PhD. So nice. Well, thank you so much for coming today to the podcast.
Thank you, Teomi. Thank you for having me once more.
Yeah, and of course, good luck with your PhD, and hope it goes really well with you, and that you will graduate soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
All the best.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening. And just to say, if you want to learn more about iLeaps, please go to our website, iLeaps.org. where you'll find a link to our early careers website, where you can follow us on Twitter at iLeaps_ECSN, or our Facebook page. Thanks.